Welcome to Critical Junction, episode 19. I'm Mark.
I'm Luke.
I'm Michelle.
So today's topic comes to us courtesy of one of our listeners who got in touch with us earlier this week with what is arguably one of the craziest conspiracy theories I have ever heard.
who brought this to us?
A fellow named Dave Lemoyne from the U.S., one of our fans.
Someone listens to us in the U.S.?
We have fans around the world, man.
Around the world! 33 people spread around the world! I mean, across the disc.
Across the disc. So the story goes something like this. After Nikola Tesla died in 1943... an MIT professor by the name of John Trump, who is in fact Donald Trump's uncle, was given the task of looking over Tesla's notes. So the official story is that he didn't find anything of any significance in those notes. But
how's that possible? I can't believe
right off the bat.
Right away, I'm skeptical.
There's nothing significant in Tesla's notes? Fuck you.
It gets better. The conspiracy theory goes that he actually uncovered the plans for a time machine buried in those notes.
Uh-huh.
So, a few years later, masters this time travel contraption and takes young Donald Trump on some adventures into the future, a la Rick and Morty.
I think more so like Biff from
yeah,
Back to the
little
Future.
Bit, right.
You know,
yeah.
Cause he's dumb.
So the
yeah,
future,
absolutely. Well, you know what? I've heard just recently that the guy who wrote Back to the Future was explicitly thinking about Donald Trump when he conceived of that. The
Biff character?
The version Back to the Future Part 2 Biff character.
Huh.
He was absolutely...
Really?
Alluding to Trump.
Well, hold on, it gets better.
That's
it gets
hilarious.
Better. So the future they arrive in is completely decimated by nuclear war. It's some kind of post-apocalyptic hell zone. So young Trump decides to travel back in time and amass a wealth of a fortune in order to try to convince the world that if we don't change our ways, we're going to end up nuking ourselves at the hands of ISIS.
And also, his plan is to become rich to become the president.
Exactly.
So that he can avoid the nuclear war.
Right. So that happened. Now, here's where it gets even crazier. So in the early 2000s, a figure by the name of John Teeter appears online and starts posting all this stuff on some forum, claiming that he's a time traveler from the year 2036. Coincidentally, same type of situation happened. 2036 is completely decimated by nuclear war, so the conspiracy theory goes that John Teeter is actually none other than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This Teeter guy posts for a little while, then mysteriously vanishes, and no one hears from him again, leaving this cookie crumb trail of weirdness online.
Have we got any photographs of this guy?
None of him. There are no photos of him, but he did post some photos of the time machine that he supposedly was using.
Okay. Did it look Tesla-esque?
There were some. I don't know. It looked kind of like a. I don't know what it looked like.
It looked like old tech to me. Like
yeah.
For one thing, there's no display screen.
Right.
Anywhere I could see it, and I thought that was odd.
Right.
For something rather complex where you're trying to calculate different dimensions and where you land in a different dimension. It seems like there's just like some knobs in there and
some knobs, a couple of switches, and it was hooked up to like a Chevy truck or something. That was
his
time machine.
But basically it looks like it's about like 3 or 4 feet long. And it's like a square prism kind of thing,
right?
With like, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half on each of the four sides, of the long sides.
Super weird.
Yeah.
So the way that Teeter described his time machine was, and this is a direct quote from one of the posts here, is, "My time machine is a stationary mass temporal displacement unit manufactured by General Electric. The unit is powered by two top-spin dual positive singularities that produce a standard offset Tipler sinusoid. I will be happy to post pictures of the unit," which he did.
Did you say manufactured by General Electric?
Yes. It was So apparently it was in the year 2036, we have mass-produced time travel equipment.
Wow.
By General Electric. So I guess if you're heading towards the Home Depot and want to pick up time travel unit, wait for the year 2036 to roll around, and you'll be in luck.
So weird.
Make sure you hook it up to your Chevy truck so you can travel into different times.
Can you speak for the science of this thing, or what he's suggesting?
No, I haven't done any research on it at all, but it sounds like something that could potentially power a time machine. He got his jargon right, at the very least.
So, I think he says at one point that the way the time machine works is that this thing kind of locally creates two singularities, two like mini black holes.
Right.
And those mini black holes, I guess the gravity of them is meant to warp time in a way that you can actually
move around.
Yeah.
So staying stationary, but in time moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, now none of his predictions came true.
No. Right. No.
Absolutely none of them. But he gave himself a get out of jail free card, this John Keeter guy,
yeah,
in posting this stuff. Because he argued that the Everett Wheeler interpretation of quantum mechanics is actually correct, and that every possible outcome of a situation happens, like we discussed in our Mandela Effect episode.
Right.
So it's not necessarily true that just because the predictions didn't happen, that time travel, or his story about traveling through time,
right.
is impossible.
Yeah,
right?
It,
just because we're living
world.
Out a different world.
Yeah.
So...
Which
how
to me
convenient.
Ultimately makes the most
because,
sense.
Because we basically diverge
right.
the timelines, and we essentially create a whole new universe,
yep.
every time we time travel.
Yeah,
exactly.
Theory.
So getting back to the Donald Trump conspiracy theory, it gets even crazier. Like, Jill, I don't know if you did any more research on this, but did you come across the multiple Pences whenever you were reading up on this?
Yeah, I didn't. I came across that, but I didn't really look into that one too much, into
so,
that claim.
So apparently, Mike Pence is an even more powerful time traveler, whose aspirations of becoming president...
But isn't he only as powerful as the General Electric machine that he uses? I mean, why is he more powerful?
I don't know.
He got the deluxe edition.
the gold or platinum edition that they only come out... You know.
It's got bureaucrat plates.
He gets the red license plate.
So... More powerful time-traveling Pence cloned himself a bunch of times because he really wants to be president, so he and Donald Trump team up to allow him to, first of all, Trump becomes president, and then he'll eventually step down, allowing one of the many Pences to assume his role as president.
One of the Pences.
One of the Pences.
It's a scary idea that there's a bunch of them
waiting.
So, in a nutshell, that is the conspiracy theory that...
Okay, it doesn't end there, though.
No, it doesn't end there. In a nutshell, that's the essential story behind it.
So another weird part of this Trump time traveler
story, as if it wasn't
story,
weird enough,
yeah, is that there's a series of books from the late 19th century called they're books about a young Baron Trump. Who time travels and visits the inner Earth through a hole in Russia, has a bunch of funny little adventures like this. And in some of these books, there's some...
Are these like Hardy Boys, like children's books? Like, what kind of books are these kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess they're kind of like children's books. This guy, the guy who wrote them is named Ingersoll Lockwood.
Yeah, they're like they're really bad versions of like the Time Machine or whatever. Like that
okay.
kind of
yeah.
adventure
yeah.
story.
Yeah, exactly. And so he wrote a couple of these books. The guy was also like a lawyer in New York,
right?
And his books didn't really he didn't become famous, but apparently there's copies of these books in the Library of Congress, so they actually exist. And there are some kind of coincidental aspects of this. So not only is there this Baron Trump time traveler character, there's other coincidences in there. One of the books the guy wrote is called The Last President, or 1900, or The Last President. And in this book, it talks, it's sort of like like one of those speculative fictions about like a degradation of society that happens with the election of the American president. In the book, at one point, just a couple pages in, actually, the people riot on or revolt on November 3rd, which happens to also be the election date that'll come up in 2020 for the next presidential election. So the people revolt, and then it says in the book the Fifth Avenue Hotel was the first place to be attacked, where people gathered, and Trump Tower is on Fifth Avenue. And
dun dun dun.
Well, that's pretty dun dun dun.
Yeah. And so, and in the book, it talks about like socialists and anarchists rising up, you know, sort of like Black Lives Matter and the Black
Social
Bloc
Justice
and,
Warriors and all yeah. that.
So
clashing.
When were these books written?
Antifa. These were written in like 1890
something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, so that's kind of interesting, and but I mean the I guess the idea there is that you know Trump would have probably himself been exposed to these books at some point mm-hmm. by somebody if there's like a fun character that bears his name,
right.
So it's not impossible that he would be made aware of these.
Tell you what is impossible, though.
What is impossible?
If Trump were a time traveler, do you think he'd be able to keep his fucking mouth shut about it? Like, he'd be all over Twitter, I traveled through time when I was a kid, you know? Like, he
yeah.
would not be able to keep that kind of thing secret.
Well, I mean, maybe not. If he really does believe that people would just think he was immediately crazy, you know? Not to say we don't already think he's crazy or anything. But.
Well, maybe his whole crazy persona is totally an act, right?
That's what some people are arguing.
Well,
the
easy way out, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's I have never been so entertained researching a topic.
Well, I
should
want to read these books, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So apparently, there are a couple of illustrations in this book of little Baron Trump, and some people say he has a resemblance to young Baron Trump.
To the actual Baron
yeah.
Trump. Yeah. Okay. So another funny place this goes is that some people think that Baron Trump is
the
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Not just the time traveler, but is Donald Trump.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. So they're both living right now in the same timeline together. And so young Baron Trump, I think, is meant to become John Teeter.
Yeah.
And so, go back in time.
Yeah. So this theory goes off into all kinds of strange tangents. So it originally appeared on the ultra-reliable and, extremely well-known and credible source 4chan.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that was sarcastic.
That was very sarcastic.
Yeah, 4chan is basically like an online forum for trolls and I guess hackers too will hang out there, but it's like a totally not moderated type of
right. You guys hang out
there
online?
Chaotic kind of place where people just it's just filled with like cynics and nihilists and like
it's like
angsty
evil.
Teenagers and
is this your Tinder,
yeah.
Jill? Is this your Tinder? Or?
No.
It's like evil Reddit.
It's like evil Reddit. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it originated on 4chan, got picked up on a couple of Donald Trump subreddits, where mm-hmm. the alt-right decided to kind of cling to it as a hero story for their movement. Do you want to talk about the whole Keck phenomenon while we're at it?
Oh yeah, what's this Keck thing?
Yeah, okay, sure. So Keck is Keck the name of the green frog?
The green frog is the Pepe thing.
Right? Yeah, right. The
yeah.
green frog is Pepe.
Yeah.
And Keck is just...
some Egyptian frog god, I think.
Yeah.
That kind of looked like Pepe a little bit. So
yeah.
they, you know, they turned...
they overlap.
Into, yeah.
Yeah.
And they turned Keck into their alt-right god.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's like a mascot for the alt-right. Yeah. And, so it's kind of funny actually that they're actually like after they came up with this whole Pepe thing that became the mascot for the Trump movement and all, and the alt-right. It's kind of funny that they actually did find this old Egyptian god from the Egyptian pantheon that has like the head of a frog and is named Keck. Because I don't know, did the Keck term come up before they actually found the god named Keck?
Or no, I think they started using him when they found.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The Keck god.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, it kind of, this whole thing is one giant troll, this conspiracy theory. Because there are a couple of reviews on Amazon for one of these Barron Trump books, and all of them, like, it's like 6 reviews or something.
Yeah.
But each of them.
They all mention, like,
Praise
like
Keck and
Chatelet, you know,
yeah,
this stupid
this
song.
This sign off that they're using.
Yeah. Because there's this Italian group named Pepe that made a song called Chatelet and. And I think that group also has like frog imagery on their
I
album.
I think
cover.
So. Yeah.
So the alt right is pushing this shit. Is what you're getting?
Yeah.
At?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I mean, I love the kind of coincidental part of this with Back to the Future,
mm-hmm,
with this Biff character from Back to the Future Part 2 actually mirroring this whole story that's coming up with
Trump. Well, I wonder where
that... Right?
Who wrote Back to the Future and where did he get that idea to... put like to base this character...
Well, because Trump was already famous in the...
So just as a character, as an asshole character, he thought, haha, Trump kind of...
Yeah, he's like the what do you call it? Sort of the epitome of the arrogant rich guy who,
right, yeah,
like silver spoon guy that just gets power despite himself, you know,
right,
just
right,
because
right,
he's already rich and
right, he always was that guy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean it's absolutely compelling to me that Biff is Trump and I mean, think about get back in time, right? You have to go 88 miles per hour,
right,
in the DeLorean, and 88 is another one of these like kind of code things related to Trump, because I mean, I think you've got racists that use that as like some kind of code for HH, for Heil Hitler.
Oh,
and I've seen 88 used in another context too, related to Trump, but I can't remember right now what it was. But anyway, yeah, there's this cool Old West TV show from the 50s. I think it's called Trackdown.
Right.
And in this, it's sort of, I mean, the I haven't seen the rest of this series. But this particular episode is kind of almost Twilight Zone-ish. And it's about like this con man that comes to a village and convinces the village that the end of the world is coming at the, like, in a couple of days or later that night or at midnight sometime. And he says that he can protect them from the end of the world by building a wall for them. And the con man's name is Trump.
Whoa!
Yeah, yeah,
pretty good.
Trump wants to build a wall. He's fear mongering about nuclear holocaust.
And he's a con man.
Yeah.
Huh, how does that story end? Do we know?
Well, the sheriff of either that town or a nearby town kind of like sees through him right away. The sheriff is actually you remember Greatest American Hero?
Yes.
That TV show. So he's like the other guy, the sidekick of the blonde curly haired guy.
God, I do not remember this.
You don't remember that guy? He was Robert Culp, I think is the guy's name.
Yeah, yeah, Robert Culp.
This guy's awesome. Like, yeah. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, and he's great.
So who's the real life sheriff of our imaginary town going to be?
God, I wish we had one, but
we don't have a sheriff, and there's no one. Here.
No, I'm.
There's
I'm,
no real life Robert Culp. Culp, Culp, Culp,
Culp,
Culp.
C-U-L-P. Yeah.
Yeah, no real life.
No, I don't think so.
No. So unsurprisingly, it was really difficult to find any kind of legitimate information about this topic outside of like
outside of that 4chan thread,
yeah,
where
yeah.
everybody it seemed like people were just piling on at one point, just coming up with some other.
So we do have confirmation though that these books exist in the library.
The books exist. Yeah.
Yes,
and we have confirmation as to their content, like that they're not just bullshitting.
Right. Yeah. No. Okay. They're actual.
Yeah.
Books.
No. I was able to browse through a couple because
okay,
they have the books. They have the
yeah,
books
yeah.
online. Yeah.
They're legit books.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the 1900 or the last president is only 50. It's less than 50 pages.
Yeah.
It's like these tiny kind of novellas or something.
So there could be even more. Now, do you feel like all the coincidences from these books have been pointed out kind of thing? Is that the general consensus we're getting? Or, like, can you dig... I wonder if we could dig deeper into these books.
I wonder...
Some sort of Nostradamus thing going on, you know? It's semi-written in code, but not really.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, you could probably have a lot of fun doing some kind of big confirmation bias exercise.
Yeah.
You know, where you just come up with something that you can map over something now, if it's vague enough.
Right.
It's like any type of prophecy, right? If you throw out a general enough statement, or
yeah,
you know, you can find things that match it really easily.
Yeah.
So, like, this whole thing, if you read through the thread on either 4chan or Reddit, it sounds like a giant exercise of 6 degrees of separation kind of deal.
Yeah.
6 degrees of
but,
Donald Trump.
You know what? I'm kind of surprised that this whole thing about Donald Trump's uncle
mm-hmm.
being... So, Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, he really was an MIT professor.
Yeah.
And he actually worked like with people who were involved with the Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
Loomis, I think, is one guy.
Right, okay. And the Manhattan Project is a pretty famous... time travel story legend.
No, the Manhattan Project
was
about
the
invention of
the bomb.
You're
talking about the Philadelphia experiment.
I'm talking about the Philadelphia
experiment.
Yeah,
I used to always confuse those.
But
the thing is, I think the Philadelphia experiment is literally sort of like a fiction or a fantasy that grew out of the lore of the Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
So people like because people didn't know what nuclear technology was or what it could do. You know, the idea of splitting the atom, maybe it meant splitting a rip in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
The whole idea behind the Philadelphia experiment was to cloak this warship,
right?
Turn it invisible,
and invisibility is also one of the technologies that that Tesla was working on.
Supposedly, yeah.
That Nikola Tesla was working on.
Yeah.
He was working on invisibility. On
free energy,
Wi-Fi,
yeah.
And apparently time travel.
Apparently time travel.
Time traveling.
Yeah. And so, but anyway, like I find it odd that this stuff about John Trump, Trump's uncle, you know, having had a fairly prominent, prestigious role in Cold War, and that never came up in like the year-long ugly campaign.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird,
that's
right?
That's kind of weird. Well, most of the information that I used to kind of form an idea around this topic came from, of all places, a tabloid article from the UK, which we'll post a link to in the description here. But according to that article, Trump, you know, talks about his uncle a lot, or used to.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, and like he formed an opinion about nuclear energy and started fearing the stuff because of what his uncle was telling him and all that jazz. So, but I don't remember any mainstream media talking about John Trump, like you said, during the campaign.
Yeah.
They might have, and we just might have missed it, but I don't remember hearing anything about him.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I find particularly spurious in the little time traveler legend here is the idea that Trump would have traveled back in time to amass riches so that he could avert
the war with ISIS.
The war,
yeah.
But I mean, this kind of feeds in to the false narrative of Trump being like a self-made millionaire,
right.
You know, of
which
Trump being like the Ayn Randian ideal or whatever, which is complete fucking bullshit.
Right.
Because he's the classic silver spoon brat
was
born of ultra-rich parents.
Right,
there was
right,
no
right.
reason for him to travel back in time to amass his wealth.
Yeah, so, like, John Trump being a successful guy in science or government or whatever, and his own father being a rich billionaire who gave him a tiny loan of $1 million to start off his own career.
Right.
You know, Trump comes from a prominent family. That's what that information says. So he's already coming from a rich family. So he didn't go back in time and build up any
right.
any riches.
It was already there.
It was already there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
there's no timeline in which Trump would have been born for.
At least not that we can think of, or that we're privy to, or whatever. Yeah. There's infinite timelines, or possibly infinite timelines. He may be poor in some of them.
If the Everett Wheeler interpretation is
right.
correct, then yeah.
That's right, yeah.
There are nearly infinite number of possible timelines, as long as they don't violate the laws of probability, right? In all probability, there's little chance of Trump being poor in any of those timelines.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Well, I mean, one of the cool things to me was that the idea that Trump time-traveling created the Mandela effect that we talked about a couple of
years.
He's actually the source.
He's
of,
the reason why.
Of like my favorite one of these podcasts
he's
that we did.
The only one with the GE, like the GE time machine.
Yeah.
That changed time to that extent, right? He's the only one.
Yeah. So.
They're that expensive. Only the truly elite can afford the
GE. Only the 1% can get the golden GE time machine.
Yeah, yeah.
The only ones, the cheaper versions only go back 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
There's a lot of stuff that's hard to believe to me about this theory of time travel. No, specifically about the time travel theory.
Right.
Of like creating different timelines. And so like this John Teeter guy, the way he gets around, some of his predictions not coming true is by saying that each time he travels, quote, through time, he's actually creating a new timeline, so any reality that he goes to is slightly different from the reality that he came from.
But that does make sense.
I mean, it sort of makes sense, but then, in what sense is he changing anything?
Yeah.
Like he's not changing anything for the reality he just came from then.
No, it's some other reality.
Yeah, and who's to say that in the other reality, that same outcome that was in the reality he came from would have come about anyway.
Right, right.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, no. Like, what you're saying is, like, the entire Terminator idea doesn't make any sense. Like,
it's instantly
a different time reality.
It's just that it instantly becomes meaningless to time travel and try to change something.
Well,
it's
not
like,
necessarily.
Just try to change something in your own timeline.
Right.
If you care about your own timeline, but...
yeah, it doesn't...
I don't understand.
The whole idea, like you said, becomes meaningless. The reason, supposedly, why John Teeter traveled backwards in time was in 2036 there are a bunch of like problems that he has to solve by going back to 1976 and retrieving an IBM 5100 to get it to interpret this computer code in his own timeline. So he stopped over in the year 2000 just to hop on the internet and start posting on his forum. And also I think the story goes to visit some of his family, yada yada, before he went back to 1976 to fulfill his mission. But again, if he's slightly altering the timeline in which he arrives, I don't need to repeat the argument that you just made there because I think you said
it. It doesn't make it completely inert just because it may have changed. Like it did change. It doesn't... I don't know.
What it means is that he's never changing...
The
timeline that he
timeline.
Wants to change.
Well,
yes,
he's
changing
he's
someone
now
else's
created,
time.
He's now created
he's just,
another timeline.
He's just
that
jumping
he
into a universe where in any universe that you exist, anything that you do by virtue of your existence automatically has like some ripple effects and influences the universe you're in.
Right, right.
But But that's no different from any universe. It doesn't mean that you can...
Well, yes, but we're suggesting here that he's coming back from... He's moving back in time from some terrible event. So he's trying to prevent a terrible event from happening in the timeline that he goes to. In that world. So it doesn't matter if it's another world.
Yeah. Isn't it? So apparently he had like this... He had this... he could measure some kind of variance... I don't know. I can't remember if that was the word, but
yeah.
I think that was the word
yeah.
he was using. And so, his time travel machine could actually measure just how different the universe he's jumping into is from his current one, or something like that. So
yeah. I think there's
like a less than 2%
yeah.
variance or something.
There's
like
a range that he can go up to before he has to leave
that's
the timeline.
Like a range of what?
A range of fuckery in the timeline.
Similarity, variability, kind of.
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's pretty close. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like, it's unfathomable the amount of measurement that this thing has to do to look at a timeline and determine that entire parallel universe. First of all, it has to encompass the entire parallel universe to then limit it or compare it in its entirety. Against another universe to say that it's 1 or 2% or 50% different.
Yeah.
What is he measuring?
That's it. He's measuring the characteristics of that universe.
Yeah. Like it's 2017 now. We're not that far away from 2036, and we're nowhere near having developed any kind of technology to map our own universe
I'm
yet.
I'm kidding, man. Where are once again? Where are the flying fucking cars?
Yeah.
I still haven't delivered them.
Maybe we should get in touch with GE.
GE. Yeah, every day.
By the way, GE, if you want to sponsor the show with a time machine.
I want the deluxe model so I can go back more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, and so that there can be a whole bunch of you. There can be many Lukes.
You'll be
right.
Like the Pences.
Yeah.
The many
keep
Lukes.
Keep them in the basement, torture them.
That's where you would go.
Like the Prestige.
No, I'm actually quoting it.
You can use them just to kill them. Oh, wait, I shouldn't.
Love that movie.
Yeah, that's a major spoiler.
That's not really where my mind goes. That's actually a quote from another friend who talked about cloning himself.
Oh, yeah.
Dan.
That's
what he said, and that's where he went with his mind with his clones, which I thought was hilarious.
He said he wanted clones so that he could torture himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Test the limits of your body.
So he's like a conscientious
masochist.
Goebbels. Isn't Goebbels the
yeah,
scientist
yeah.
that would experiment on?
Fuck was his name? I can't remember. Anyway, it'll come back to me at some point. But yeah, like, there's this huge mystique around the character of Nikola Tesla. Some of it is warranted, some of it is just, you know, exaggeration and speculation.
Hey, and Nikola Tesla actually is in The Prestige.
Yes, he is.
So there's another connection.
Hey, see,
well,
now you're thinking.
Tesla is a good example of what I guess you can call a genius. Like, he did seem to be exploding with ideas that were... way beyond everyone else, you know. So yeah, I, that's why when you said this Trump, John Trump or whatever, looked through his books and found nothing of interest, I just can't believe it.
Well, I think the idea is that there wasn't anything in the notes that they gathered that they hadn't already known about or explored.
Yeah, like in that particular collection of notes that he was tasked with investigating.
Those Hilroys were garbage.
Yeah. But apparently Uncle Trump had passed on...
secrets of time travel.
Had passed on these documents to Trump and then Trump, I guess...
On the night of his confirmation, apparently, a lightning bolt struck Trump Tower in Chicago...
Oh, yeah.
And these people are, like, the people behind this conspiracy theory are speculating that it was at that moment that he activated this Tesla time machine powered by the lightning rod, you know, which allowed him to actually get the
old
nomination.
Old school Frankenstein style.
Yeah,
like,
it's alive!
I find that kind of hilarious that lightning bolt striking a lightning rod is somehow significant. Isn't that what lightning rods are made for?
Well, apparently this one was used to power the time machine. Which is really funny. So if a time machine requires that amount of energy, there's no way the Teeter story could be true, could it? Unless there's some kind of ultra high power generating battery built into the Chevy truck that he used to travel back.
What I wonder is, like, how do they develop advanced technology in a timeline where all infrastructure is destroyed?
They're in a post-apocalyptic world now, right? So
what the hell?
Yeah, they're just grabbing stuff out of the sidewalks, debris.
He built his time machine out of debris.
The world is destroyed, but GE plant is still fine and pumping
out
time machines.
That's right. And funding ultra high tech research.
Well, it could make sense that in a sense the future world would have the rich and the poor completely divided. So the poor, larger extent of the world is devastated, and then the rich are living behind the wall, right? The Trump wall.
Yeah, right.
Protected.
The Trump wall.
Yeah. The
yeah. Do we want to talk about the plausibility of time travel?
Well, so somebody who was looking into John Teeter and trying to find his identity. This guy
talking about the private investigator.
Not quite the private investigator, but this YouTuber or website called something Hoax Hunter or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, right, yeah.
So this guy has been for 10 years. He's been looking at this John Teeter story and trying to find the identity of the person who was actually posting in those forums. And he even emailed Michio Kaku, the physicist. You know Michio Kaku?
I just had breakfast with him.
So he emailed Michio Kaku and asked him about John Teeter's claim that his time machine worked by creating two mini black holes, and Michio Kaku responded that, well, no, mini black holes can't bend time. They can bend gravity, but they can't bend time, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he discounts the theory, and he says, and he says this Teeter guy is a fraud.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking's idea on time travel is that you can travel into the future. Right, but you can't travel into the past, just by nature of the laws of physics and the way that, entropy works. Time flows in one direction. You can speed it up.
Yeah, arrow of time, right?
Yeah, exactly, the arrow of time. You can use relativity to your advantage in order to travel forward in time.
Right.
Things like,
age everyone else around you.
Yeah. But you unfortunately can never go back.
What about this idea though of the mini black holes being able to bend gravity but not light?
Not time.
Yeah,
not time. Okay, not time. What am I saying?
Like they have a noticeable effect on gravity. Like they, because in order for a black hole to exist, it needs to have a certain amount of mass which can bend the fabric of space-time appropriately, right? So since these things are so tiny, they would have the necessary mass to form, but they would probably just pop out of existence within seconds.
Yeah.
Right, they would just, okay, I see.
Yeah. And they wouldn't exert enough force to bend time sufficiently to travel in any direction.
And if they were big enough to exert that kind of force, they would instantly swallow up whatever has created them.
Right.
You know, everything would just implode on itself, including John Teeter, who's standing right next to this black hole.
Like, it would need to, in order for a miniature black hole to have that, to exert the effect needed to travel in time, it would have to be so massive that it would no longer be considered a mini black hole, or on the other side, it would be composed of this remarkable energy that we have yet to discover. Right?
Yeah.
It's physically so far impossible for that to happen.
Yeah.
Laws of physics, bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard of it.
Heard of it?
Yeah.
You've heard of the laws of physics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting. I feel like I'm being educated here.
Yeah, you think you're going to read those Baron Trump books from the late
I don't know. You know, if they were in the library, yeah, I'd probably go check them out. Like, if they're like,
I'll check them out.
I started reading the 1900 or the last president.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that good? This kind of thing, or?
It sounds like the author is he's like a proto sort of libertarian type of guy, but like the kind of conservative libertarian.
Okay.
Like
not a social libertarian.
No. He seems kind of anti-socialist and yeah. So the book is a little bit like, I think it's a little bit moralizing, but I guess that's the case for all speculative fiction like that, right?
Right.
Like,
well, especially
whether you're talking about Ray Bradbury or you know, they all have their own perspective that they're pushing, or Arthur C. Clarke or Robert Heinlein.
Well, he would have.
Yeah,
been.
I guess he would be kind of Robert Heinlein, kind of more in that direction.
So okay, so and can you tell sort of what sort of an agenda this person is pushing? Or?
Yeah. Well, I think he was kind of pushing this idea of a heroic Trump-like figure.
Mm.
And he was kind of poo-pooing any type of kind of socialist kind of perspective.
Right.
This would have been like right at the dawning of industrial civilization kind of thing. These when these books were.
Yeah, I mean it's a
like Death of the Wild West sort of times.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like around that.
Like Deadwood.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it's closer to the Civil War than it is to World War II.
Right.
And stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's very shortly after, after, like, socialists and anarchists become a thing, right? They're kind of in their infancy at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no need for it yet.
Yeah, and like you were saying, there's this heroic Trump-like figure in those books, which is I'm pretty sure why they latched on to this and crafted a strange conspiracy theory around it. Like they want
to. Well, in the Baron Trump books, in the one where he goes to the center of the earth, to the inner world, the hollow earth kind of place, he meets a character named Don.
Right.
Don Fung, I think, is the guy's name, which is obviously kind of close to Donald Trump.
But yeah, they're using the Spanish honorific of Don,
right,
in that context. But you know,
but Baron is also an honorific before
right.
It's a first name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are like, it's got to be Donald. It has to be through Don Trump, right? Baron Trump.
Baron Don. Yep.
Isn't there like an Ivan character or something that they're claiming is supposed to be Ivanka?
Yeah. I didn't actually see anything more about that. But I heard that mentioned in passing on one of the videos I watched. Yeah. So they were relating this Ivan character to Ivanka or Ivana? No, Ivanka. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just kept bringing up like character names that kind of
were similar,
slightly deviated from characters we know in Trump's circle. Anyway.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Strange conspiracy theory.
Yeah. So if you want your entire worldview to collapse, and if you want to despair in the idea that Trump is like one of the most powerful entities in our universe, then look into this some more.
That's just
right, so I guess it becomes a form of propaganda, just pushing this, propagating Trump, no?
Oh, yeah. Well,
trolling.
Propaganda kind of implies some kind of purposeful intent with an agenda.
To overcome their own cognitive
Whereas I think this is more born out of, like, the postmodern nihilistic trolls on 4chan.
Just because we can.
Like they just are happy to to ridicule and sow discord amongst anybody who actually believes in shit.
Yeah, one of the comments that I read when I was going through the thread was just someone being like, yeah, this makes a whole lot of sense. I'm tired of facts and whatever, you know?
I'm tired of facts.
This makes a lot of sense. I'm tired of facts.
It's just people revolting against, you know, reality for the sake of pissing everyone else off.
Reality is fake news.
Reality is fake news. CNN, fake news.
But I mean, I guess people have always done this, though, right? It's not as if it's a,
not
it's
to
a
this
new
extent.
Postmodern phenomenon. But you don't think it's more
I think people have always done it, and now we have tools to make it much more
Propagate it, like the internet.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing.
Like, now we're putting it out there, and it's growing. Like, now it's planting seeds of stupidity everywhere around the world.
Social media has made it, you know, really easy to spread this kind of crap.
Yeah.
Super simple. Like you said, just spreading the seeds of bullshit, essentially. Things like forums where you can just voice your opinion no matter how crazy or uninformed it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just due to the nature of the beast, things are becoming a little bit more noticeable in terms of how far people are willing to go in terms of their, you know, outright dismissal of reality.
There's kind of like a backfire or betrayal about the idea of the internet and what it was expected to be and do and what it has actually done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, initially, I think people thought it was going to be a lot more of a democratizing of information and also you know, like the whole global village idea.
Mm-hmm.
Of Marshall McLuhan, who this week actually on Google was the Google Doodle.
I saw that.
It was Marshall McLuhan, and the internet, like they thought it would be more of something that would bring people,
global community, bring people
global
together,
global community,
kind of,
yeah, that kind of thing. Whereas what's happened is that it's become kind of a world unto its own with all kinds of mechanisms to allow people to refine and cloister themselves.
It's made it easier for people to revert back to a more tribal mentality.
Yeah, you get all these echo chambers,
right.
And
you'll gravitate to a group of people who share similar worldviews to your own and stay within that little bubble of the internet. And
Which is so weird, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest, though, that it's opened and closes, right? Like, it does have this original idea and intent is there.
Yeah, but what
you
end up getting is, like, with things like Facebook, the algorithms in Facebook are constructed to kind of recognize your patterns and then just reinforce what you're exposed to, because
keep you doing and interested in things you've been interested all along and not
right. And it's not even like a nefarious intent on the part of Facebook. It's just one of those externalities that comes from like advertising
Google does the exact same thing with targeted AdWords and things. So the more you browse on your Google account, the more it becomes familiar with your patterns, and it'll display things that are relevant to your search history.
There, though, it's organization due to capitalism, though, right? Like,
that's
it.
Yeah,
we consider,
exactly.
Yeah, because they want to advertise in a targeted way that's most effective to actually
influence
you to click or to buy. Or
I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you have Facebook open in one tab and you're browsing Google in the other, like looking up something for something really specific, like I was looking up. What was it? Just, you know, molecular biology techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Googling this, and at the same time I have Facebook open. So I switch back to Facebook at one point. Now I'm getting ads for like all these scientific instruments that Facebook is trying to sell me, just because it knows I'm looking for molecular biology techniques on Google.
That's why I'm always seeing the giant dildo ads.
That's why.
That's exactly
right.
You know what? That's actually one of the funny aberrations that come out of doing this podcast with you guys lately, is that like after or before every show, my profile on YouTube and like recommendations and stuff like that and things that come up on Google, they get totally warped according to the subject I'm looking into that week.
Yeah, like the album.
All of a sudden, on YouTube, I'm apparently a Kekistani along with all the rest of them.
So in general, though, we've sort of made some sort of a claim there that, in a sense, capitalism has stunted the development of a free internet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely say so.
Right, right.
Because of the advertising or marketing potential that the internet provides to a lot of organizations, it's robbed the internet of the original intent of it being, like you said, the democratizing global community idea. The idea of sharing information openly and freely has now become, well, how much can we make of this information sharing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why things like net neutrality are so damned important, because it
yeah.
prevents those organizations from controlling the speed at which you access their backed products as opposed to their competitors. So, yeah.
Yeah, because they can totally manipulate what you get access to or what takes up the space, right? Like
mm-hmm.
they can privilege some sources over others and basically
right.
slow to a crawl any.
And of course, big corporations and certain politicians are totally in favor of scrapping net neutrality because it'll bring them
yeah.
more money.
Well, of course, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how capitalism can take you so far, but then it has to be abandoned, sort of thing, you know? It stops working because the...
Yeah, anytime you start looking at a system as a panacea...
There's your favorite word again, Luke. Panacea.
Yeah, can you define that word?
Yeah, again, a panacea is a cure-all.
Oh, okay.
Like this one-stop shop that totally takes care of all ills and
well,
is
so
self-correcting.
Adaptive, right?
And,
yeah.
I mean, there is a little bit of that in the capitalistic economy, right? There is a bit of idea of competition, just kind of competition and supply and demand, you know, actually just working out to what people want or need, encouraging the production of that, and then what people don't want or don't need, that kind of falling away, you know. But like you say, there's a limit because you have all these kind of unintended consequences, like the development of monopolies and stuff like that, where when it goes unchecked, you know, because what you get is a kind of like a Darwinist natural selection type of idea, right? But instead of it being as broad as the whole ecosystem, you've got these little markets and these microcosms where, while you actually can end up with like the strongest one just eliminating all of the
right.
all of the competition,
and that's why a lot of venture capitalists are, you know, they cling to the idea of social Darwinism so strongly, because to them, it makes total sense. Our company is more powerful than yours. We will dominate the field and destroy you. But that's not what survival of the fittest is according to Darwinian evolution. It doesn't mean the strongest survive. It means those most suited to their environment survive.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
by virtue of them being
right.
better at living in that environment. Right? It has nothing to do with something being stronger, therefore it will survive. So this whole capitalist idea of evolution and survival of the fittest is completely
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
It gives people or CEOs an excuse to exercise their desire and their drive to accumulate more wealth at the expense of anyone else who can't. Capitalism.
It's not to say though that capitalism can't work though. It's what you're
no,
pointing.
What I was saying earlier, like about the when I brought up the cure-all
yeah.
kind of aspect, is just that you actually do need sort of a mix of different approaches to cover your ass and prevent those kinds of aberrant symptoms from emerging, right? You need regulation, and you need a moderating influence, like a little bit of socialism in your capitalism. Mm-hmm. You know, you need that chocolate in your peanut butter.
You need the social safety net.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of greedy people clawing at each other to get more money.
I still feel that we seem to rely or want to rely on systems to be good, and like there's the you know, capitalism can't work if we're not going to be good foundationally first, if that makes sense. You know, we're not pointing capitalism at the right thing, or you know, we're not. Does this make any sense?
Well, I thought the idea of capitalism was like to recognize that people are inherently selfish and kind of use that to create.
Like Hobbes, like, what's that?
Yeah, Hobbes was. Hobbes said that life was nasty, brutish, and short, and in his view, human nature was.
Nasty, brutish, and short.
Yeah, and that goes like that's like in contrast to Rousseau, whose conception of humanity's nature was that we were inherently good, and that we are corrupted by society and systems like that.
Well, even if we were just naturally nothing in particular, neither positive nor negative sort of thing, we're still not. With capitalism creating anything, or with any system creating anything of any, I guess you could just say, like, I guess it comes down to an aesthetic quality, like anything of beauty, let's say, you know? Like, I'm kind of looking at all of this, I'm starting to begin to think that everything is just art like, science is building a model that most closely reflects, but is not actual reality, but is a reflection of. So when we talk about science and bad science is like bad art. It just doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like, guys. Like, that's off, you know.
But the thing is that science isn't just an art, because it's not just about trying to paint a most accurate painting of something that it's looking at. It's about learning in a way that allows you to actually manipulate reality.
Right.
That it allows you to actually manipulate.
What I mean is that it is influence it is reductionist in the sense that you're reducing to be able to
into some kind of graspable scale
that you can then manipulate.
You're trying to reduce uncertainty in order to form a more accurate picture of how reality actually works.
Well, to give you the power to actually achieve aims or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So any.
So you're saying science is an art, then? I can't make that clear.
Was I agreeing? I thought I was kind of.
Were you?
Drawing a difference.
Yeah, you were drawing a difference.
Yeah, it's not an art. Well, I don't know. I think
say
that's
it.
Stretching.
You're stupid.
No. I'm saying that I disagree, but maybe I could be convinced. But in my eyes, the art to some extent can't have a practical purpose.
It can't have a practical purpose.
Yeah. I mean,
then it becomes tool.
I think that's a whole
other
show, actually, where we can discuss
something.
The definition of art.
Yeah,
that's one of those classic arguments.
That would that would give us an hour's worth of material, if not more.
yeah.
So, any closing thoughts on this
time travel?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, instantly, I think the three of us just discredit time travel in general. Like, we just can't believe it. Like, we can't wrap our brains around that. It's bullshit.
Time travel. Right at the moment, I would tend to agree with Hawking's interpretation of it. Just because of there's no evidence to suggest we can travel backwards in time. Even the forward travel is something that's just purely speculative, but the math would tend to back it up. So that's where I would kind of sit in terms of, is time travel possible?
Are you liking the science on Rick and Morty? Like, have they traveled back in time at all? I can't remember.
They specifically avoid time travel.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you count Rick's time travel box in his garage lab.
That he hasn't done anything with it?
It just says time travel stuff on it.
So he could be moving forward, though, in time, which would still...
Right. If his portal gun allowed him to travel forward in time somehow by manipulating gravity, cool. I'd like to see that, actually. That'd be really fun. That'd be fun to see. But in terms of this conspiracy theory, no. I put no stock.
It's pretty out there, guys.
It's pretty out there. This is the most out there.
I thought we were going to do vampires, guys.
But it's particularly fun to discover and look into because of all the little synchronicities that it brings up, all the little coincidences that it picks out. And
yeah. Well, like you said, it's a really interesting experiment into cognitive bias because you're choosing the items within this conspiracy theory that back it up and back up your view.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, like, it's almost like they're using it to battle their own cognitive dissonance, where they can't possibly see that Donald Trump is a terrible thing, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going, no, look at this, like, no, he's a big man of the future, like,
so
our lord, you know.
So do you guys think this, the conspiracy theory itself, is a joke among them, or is it, do they actually believe the bullshit?
No, I think they don't believe it at all. I think, again,
this is not to say, though, that someone out there may believe it for
oh yeah, the people who are told of this conspiracy, I'm sure there are some that believe it, that are compelled by it, and
it's a little bit awesome, like how how stupid you can be on Earth and still survive. Like, I remember working at Zellers, and people would come up with the questions, and I'm supposed to, like, at the time Zellers is dying, kind of thing, you know. We were told, like, basically, like suck their dicks, you know, like, go in there and do whatever they ask you to. And eventually, I'm just doing everyone's shopping for them, you know, and I'm asking myself, like, how does this person survive, you know, like, how. Just meeting all these different people.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, stupid drives cars and stupid does things out there. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're right.
It's,
like,
it's pretty amazing. I was gonna say scary, but it's actually kind of
it's
amazing.
It's actually kind of amazing.
You know?
Yeah. The
it is.
Like,
it's,
wow, we're not killing each other more. It's kind of awesome, really.
When you put it into perspective like that, it is amazing. It's amazing that people haven't died off yet just by their sheer ignorance of how the world works, and yet, you know, they're out there driving cars, getting people to do their shopping for them. It's I don't know, like, I put no stock into this thing at all. It's
an interesting experiment, I think, that I think might come up with some fun stuff is if we just picked any other random character and tried to build,
let's make our own
a little synchronicity, kind of.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
there's
like,
so much
like, let's say,
trash
let's say
out there.
Like Bernie Sanders. Let's see if we can find anything in history with somebody who's named Bernard or
Sanders.
And then you know, you could go on from there.
We could turn Bernie Sanders into a time traveler.
Yeah.
You guys
totally
want to try and
recreate
some sort of a myth.
The Trump time traveler with Bernie Sanders. Just
see if you can do it.
See if you can do it.
That.
All you need to do is come up with like less than half a dozen coincidental things, because that's basically what this 4chan thread consisted of. Somebody found the Baron Trump books. Then they brought up the John Trump looking over Nikola Tesla and supposedly Tesla looking into time travel stuff.
Can we
and
go?
Link boom,
to
Bob's, John Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. Can we go a little more realistic? Like, because Bernie Sanders isn't going to save the world, it seems.
Well, maybe this was you need that pendulum backswing in order for the
right. Because I was going to say maybe we should look at someone maybe a little more realistically going to save the world. I was going to suggest The Rock.
Right.
because he's running for.
Is he really?
Yeah. No,
he I don't know if that's true.
It'll be like The Rock against Kanye in 2020. Is that what?
Yeah. Can you imagine the commercials, man?
Oh my god,
that's gonna be some good stuff.
Yeah.
Albums,
you know, the
movies.
Longer Trump is in there, the less I hate Kanye as an option.
The worst person is gradually starting to shift away from Kanye. Yeah, no, actually, I think it already has shifted. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump is the worst person right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It used to be Kanye, now it's not anymore. It's kind of funny.
Yep.
What about you, Luke? Any final thoughts on this absurdity?
I think it's a little bit awesome. Like
it's
I'm blown away by how like the stupid, I don't know what else to call it, the dumb. Like it's pretty great.
It is pretty great. I'm just amazed that that this thing got kind of picked up.
Yeah.
Not by any credible news sources, mind you, but it got picked up nonetheless.
Yeah.
I would think if you guys came up with six Bernie Sanders, you know, things, I bet it would get like a little ball rolling and other people would come up with other things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sure of it.
That's my final thought for this
is
episode.
It a challenge?
Is just a challenge. Somebody out there, you know, kind of try and come up with some Sanders time travel facts.
That is our challenge of the day or of the of the week until our next episode. Between now and the next episode, if anyone is listening and would like to come up with a semi-plausible Bernie Sanders conspiracy theory, which may or may not involve time travel.
He may be an ancient alien, it's true, yeah.
There you go, could be an ancient alien.
He's ancient.
Oh, nice. On that note, I think this would be a good place to wrap it up. Thanks again to Dave Lemoyne for sending us the topic for this episode.
Woo!
If anyone else out there has any more ideas for something crazy you'd like to hear us talk about, please send them our way. We'd love to do it, as is pretty evident from the fact that we've picked up this bullshit.
We may even want you to be a guest and talk about it yourself if you're really into something.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
it's
true.
Weird or dumb.
We love it.
We love it, yes.
Anything weird or dumb.
Like Don Trump Jr. I love it.
Can we just change the show name to not Critical Junction, but Weird or Dumb?
Weird or Dumb?
Weird or Dumb.
Welcome to Weird or Dumb. That might be a little too close to William Shatner's Weird or What.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Like he owns that show. Yeah, you can so tell he's paid and he gets the fuck out of there.
Oh, jeez. All right, that was fun, guys.
Yep.
That was fun.
Thanks.
This has been Critical Junction episode 19. I'm Mark.
I'm Luke.
I'm Jill.
As always, thanks for listening, and we will catch you again.
Bye, everybody.
Next time.